Great to have you with us for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. And, you know, a few minutes ago, I mentioned that we were doing Bayfield in Bloom again. We'll be in Bayfield, Wisconsin for that. Next Friday, we're doing a live show from there. It's a free event. We do like to have people request tickets, even though it's free. And I didn't have the address off the top of my head, but I have it now. It's WPR.org/presents. WPR.org/presents. And fill in how many tickets you need or how many people are coming, and that'll help us out a little bit with the arrangements. But it is indeed free. You know, we're fortunate to have many beautiful botanical gardens in Wisconsin. And right now we're going to take a closer look at one of the newest, the Monk Botanical Garden in Wausau. And our guest is Darcy Howard, who is executive director of the gardens. And I'm wondering, have you visited the Monk Botanical Gardens? Do you have a favorite part? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Darcy Howard, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Monk Botanical Gardens, kind of relatively newcomer, I guess, to the state's public gardens. How did it get started?
So we celebrated our 20th anniversary last year, but it started in a very unique way compared to some of the other gardens here in Wisconsin. And in 2003, a local realtor named Robert W. Monk III donated 19 acres to the newly formed nonprofit. In order to turn it into an educational botanical garden. And this site, these 19 acres, were adjacent to another 6.5 acres, which included his homestead. So in the very beginning, Mr. Monk was quite involved in helping create our first master plan, which was in 2005. But what's really unique is that it was all volunteers. So it's been all volunteer run up until 2017. We had some seasonal staff, but not a full-time staff member until about 7 years ago.
Man, and I'm looking online at the gardens, and you've got a fantastic thing going there. I mean, it must have looked a lot different than it does now.
It did. You know, he, him and his family, when the land was bought in 1974, they had planted a lot of red pine, which we still have plenty of as we continue to develop. But Mr. Monk was a gardener. So one of his favorite things were crabapple trees, which we have throughout the gardens. And as we develop sections of it, we try to keep what we can that Mr. Monk originally planted. However, I have to give kudos to those volunteers because really starting in 2010, they started building some of the sections of gardens that visitors will see now, which is our wildflower woods and our meditation garden. And also our kitchen potager. So, again, those are volunteers working full-time jobs plus trying to run a botanical garden, all being open to the public the entire time.
It's an amazing story. Tell us more about the individual areas that you have.
Sure. So one of the first spots, gardens that was created was our memory circle. And it is surrounded by a variety of ferns with some river birches that have created this nice overhead canopy where the shade is wonderful. And those ferns, especially with this rain that we've had, are really flourish. And it is just a beautiful, peaceful spot. And from there, we have our wildflower woods. So the concept behind that was, again, 15 years ago, we planted the trees, most of them native, not all of them, that would create the canopy. And so the canopy was finally tall enough and creating enough shade that we have begun to fill in the areas with native wildflowers throughout.
I love you've got swamp white oak in there, you've got bur oak. You've got maple, Northwood maple.
Yes, yeah. Again, I can't talk enough about those original volunteers, some of which were horticulturalists, that put in so much time and effort to make these beautiful designs. And that spot, one of my favorite spots within the Wildflower Woods, is Herbie's Garden. And this garden was funded by and planted by one of those original board members, Claire Aziz, who wanted something in memory of her father. And she's created a beautiful native little nook that you can stroll along and see all of the spring wildflowers coming up. And of course, this time of year, it looks the best. And that's one of my favorite spots to go. But we also have some magnolias, which, up here, we're farthest north, Botanical Garden. So you see those magnolias, they're not going to last long, but man, you're like, yes, spring is here.
Oh, man. I like the... You've got an educational, you mentioned you have the educational garden, and the gallery there looks outstanding.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Monk, again, I find this to be kind of a uniqueness about this garden, is he really wanted education to be as equal as the development of the botanical garden. And so we have... again, volunteers really started that effort, working with the Wausau School District, providing some programs. But the gardens themselves, we have made sure that every perennial and annual is marked so that people can identify them. And then, as you're probably seeing on the website, we then transfer that. People can just, look at a QR code and learn all about what plants are there and, could they plant them in their yard? And, I think that's an important piece of what we do. The other is that it's really key for botanical gardens in the future, and frankly, any sort of natural environment, for it to continue, we need the littlest ones to start to understand it and appreciate it. And so we really have committed to that 3-4-year-old programming, and actually offer the only garden nature-based preschool in the area.
It's an amazing thing. You mentioned the meditation garden earlier, and I believe there's still work being done in the meditation garden. What's the plan for that area?
Yeah, great question. So phase one of the meditation garden was completed. And it's come to maturity. So as you walk from the wildflower woods, you enter the meditation garden, which overlooks the pond. And it is a place where we consistently hear people find their serenity, their peace. They love to have lunch there and look out over the water. We do have a couple more phases to go, and that's really extending the meditation garden around more of the pond that is there, which, by the way, was dug by Mr. Monk and his children at the time. and there's an island on that pond, and so that is also included in that expansion, plus a tea house. So we will be putting in a tea house eventually.
Darcy Howard is our guest today. She is the executive director of the Monk Botanic Gardens in Wausau. Questions for her. Have you been there? Have you experienced? Love to hear from you if you have. If you have questions from her, maybe even about the plants, I hope you'll join in. You can reach us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us the email address talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Thanks so much for joining us for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Darcy Howard, Executive Director of the Monk Botanic Gardens in Wausau. I tell you what, it's a fascinating place, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions about it or maybe your experiences. Again, the number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas to talk@WPR.org. John in Wausau, let's go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I just wanted to call and thank you for this wonderful garden. It's such an amazing resource for the Wausau Central Wisconsin area. Bringing our granddaughters there all the time, and probably one of my favorite memories. We've always heard of that. A place is healthy when you see a lot of frogs and turtles and those sort of things. And there was one I visited, and there were hundreds and hundreds of tiny little frogs that had come out of the pond and were warming themselves or whatever on the sidewalk, gravel area. And my granddaughters were in heaven. They were having so much fun playing with all the little frogs.
John, thanks for calling. Comment, Darcy.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's one of our favorite times. We usually have snapping turtles that nest every year and green herons. But I'll tell you, there's nothing better than when all those baby toads and frogs come out. It is a delight for everybody.
Oh, John, again, appreciate it very much. An email from a Wausau resident wants to know, is there a rationale for turning the gardens from a free community resource to a paid attraction?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Mr. Monk, and with the original vision, was to create, and we just read this out of minutes from 2004, he wanted a world-class garden, and he compared what he wanted to Chicago, to St. Louis's garden. And so we are fully nonprofit. So we are not supported by taxpayer money. And so we run on donations and memberships. And so similar to Green Bay Botanical Gardens, we are going to have to change over to begin to charge so that we have the funding and other resources to finish the full 30 acres that we have to develop.
And you mentioned 30 acres. You have expanded, or you've added to the original property. Let's put it that way. What are the plans for that new area?
Yeah, well, exciting news is that we are starting a big part of that expansion this year. And we're calling it Phase 1 Garden Enhancements. And some of the stuff is necessary for us to move on as a botanical garden. And what I mean by that is we need to secure the space. So things like new fencing and top-of-the-line security. We are installing a parking lot, moving our entrance, and a parking lot that when you drive in, you're going to know you're already in the botanical garden. So it's just beautifully designed. We're working with TKWA out of Milwaukee. And then a gatehouse. And that will allow us to increase our visitor services. Right now, we just don't have a way to collect fees, but also just to get that information out and talk to our members and talk to the community as they come through. But the two most exciting pieces, in my opinion, is one, we are putting in an English-styled garden. It will be a little more than an acre, and we're building it or creating it in a way that will also hold ceremonies, wedding ceremonies for up to 100 people. And that is going to be that wow factor as people come in, one of the first things they're going to see. And the second is we are completing Sarah's storybook garden. And so this is a garden that started 6 years ago as a memorial garden for Sarah Kurt Sands, who was an attorney in town that was killed during a domestic violence issue here in Wausau. And the Marathon Bar Association started to raise the money, and we've completed part of the garden, the Hobbit House, but the fairy tunnel's going in, and we've got a shipwreck, and it's just going to be a magical place where kids and adults can really just expand their imagination while surrounded by beautiful plants.
The gardens are an official monarch butterfly site. Maybe explain what that means.
Yeah, so this is another thing that was done by volunteers before staff arrived. And we have made a point of trying to keep native spaces and open spaces that have butterfly and pollinator plants. And so as that designation basically means that we're providing that habitat and the associated education around that. And one of our next gardens to go in will be a native prairie. And we're hoping to begin that process next year.
That's great. And you're also, I thought this was pretty cool, you're also a chimney swift and geocaching site. Tell us about those designations.
Yeah, so again, geocaching was long before staff, and we do have a couple of spots on site, and occasionally we get geocachers out, and really that was developed by the volunteers as a way to get people to the gardens originally, which was brilliant. And then the Swift Tower, we partner with the Wausau Bird Club here on many programs and other things, and one of the things is putting up a Swift Tower. Now, I have to say, unfortunately, we've never had any chimney swifts stay in the tower, but we are moving it this year, hopefully to a better spot. So, fingers crossed.
Well, I tell you, chimney swifts need it. There aren't so many chimneys. The chimneys are rapidly disappearing from the face of the United States, actually. So anything that can be done to help save them, I think, is a good thing. I think you mentioned a visitor center, a plan to build a visitor center. What would it be like, and what would you hope to do to use it for?
Sure. So our phase two will be the visitor and education center. And right now you can check out the design on our website. But what we're looking at is walking into, meeting visitors, having a very small gift shop, having a beautiful orangey-like space where it's all glass and we've got plants year-round in there that during the good weather can be completely opened up, and you're sitting out on a veranda with a two-way fireplace. And looking out at the gardens. It also will have a 40-person workshop, again, focusing on our education programs. And believe it or not, but staff are not on site. Our offices are not on site. We're very grateful that UWSP Wausau has hosted us from the beginning. And but as you can imagine, that create some challenges. And so another big important piece of that visitor center is our office space will be part of that as well.
Yeah. I guess I haven't asked this, but the garden itself is located where around Wausau?
Yeah, we're on the north side. So if you're coming up, 51 and heading north, you get right off at where NTC is, North Technical College, and we are just south of NTC on Campus Drive.
Okay. And the visitor center, when do you hope to complete it?
Well, I got to say, I want to get phase one done this year. And then one thing at a time. And then we'll start raising funds in order to put in the visitor center. So the hope right now is that a visitor center would be installed in 27.
One of the things I noticed on your site that interested me is that you have some opportunities that people can, that you can work with people on maybe designing their own landscape and things of that nature.
Yes, we do offer landscape consulting. A big part of our focus is native plants. As we all know, we need our native pollinators. And so one of, again, that has been a focus of what we're trying to do within these beautiful curated gardens, but also help people to do the same. So even the smallest space, as you know, you can plant the right plants to help with our native pollinators. And so, it's very affordable. We take a look. We take a look at your yard. A horticulturist will then give you some suggestions, tell you where you can get your plants. We don't do any installation, but we are here as experts.
And tell us about some of the events that you have planned for this summer.
Sure. So summertime, as always, in any Wisconsin botanical garden is busy. And so we have a booze and botany event. It'll be our fifth year. And that event is focused on using our kitchen garden plants to make dishes and mixed drinks, both with and without alcohol. And pairing the two. And so we get local chefs and bartenders to come out, and it's always a great time. All the money actually goes to support our Sprouts Garden Preschool, because we do offer scholarships so that anybody can attend. And then we have Blossom of Lights coming in the fall, which is on its third year, and it's our version of a light show. It is not wrapped around the holiday. We do it mid-September through October, and it really is a beautiful space to come and enjoy the lights and see how that enhances everything around in the gardens.
I wondered how long, how long you stay open throughout the year. I did see a beautiful little walkway in the wooded area, and there was also a photo of that walkway that was snow covered.
Yeah, we are open year round. We offer snowshoe walks, just general winter walks, and because we offer programming year round. We want to make sure it's open to visitors as well. People come out and cross-country ski on a nice new fresh snow. It's just a great place to be no matter what time of year.
And a staff, you started with volunteers, but how many staff do you have and how many volunteers?
Yeah, so we started with one staff member, which was me, first full-time staff member. And now we are at 15. Some of those are part-time, and we have additional seasonal staff and over 110 volunteers. And that does not include the businesses that come out and volunteer their time as well. And we usually get multiple groups in the area to come out and spend their day digging in the dirt.
Well, I tell you what, it's a fascinating place, and I have to admit, I haven't been there yet, but I'm certainly, after talking with you and going online to your website at the Monk Gardens, that it is a fantastic place, and I'll be there. I'm going to try and stop there this summer, as a matter of fact. Thank you so much. Darcy Howard is the executive director of the Monk Botanic Gardens in Wausau. And if you're in the area, you should stop in and take a look at it. Our producers, we have a couple of producers, Clara Neipert and Joe Patnod. Our technical directors are Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn, and executive producer Jill Nadeau. I am Larry Mueller.